When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Kind of an interesting live stream today. We've got a lot of little pieces of news that have long-term impact, potentially now impact, and some real interesting nuggets to talk about. The Fantasy Football Show, breaking news edition, Najee Harris fifth-year option not picked up edition. What's that mean? What's that mean in an Arthur Smith offense? Justin Fields may be returning kicks, according to Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren may be the number one running back in Pittsburgh. We've got this little gem right here as well to talk about. Patriots' new wide receiver, Javon Baker, kind of a little sleeper here on the channel. We've talked about him several times. Might be better than Polk, their number one drafted rookie. Javon Baker says there's no way in effing America 10 receivers are better than me. This guy thinks he's a top 10 wide receiver already, and I kind of like it because he's a little sleeper of ours. He might make the Moon Man list just on that alone. That show, the Deebo Samuel and Ayuk were past trading them, says John Lynch. That show begins right now.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios.
It's the Fantasy Football Show.
Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
A lot of little pieces of news to discuss on today's show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start off with the Najee Harris news. I think it's got a lot of impact. Really, really does. Because this news of the Steelers not picking up his fifth-year option makes him a free agent next year. It also tells you they're not super confident in him being the locked-in starter and future of the team. And there's a really good chance that Jaylen Warren ends up overtaking him, or this becomes a full-blown 50-50 committee right out of the gate. And the most concerning thing here, if you're a Najee believer, is that Arthur Smith has proven that he wants to run multiple backs and kind of do something interesting with the offense in terms of the run. So the fact that this news breaks kind of tells us, okay, Arthur Smith plus not picking up a fifth-year option makes Najee Harris very shaky. And he was kind of an interesting player walking into the season. We hate Arthur Smith for a lot of reasons, but we got probably a pretty darn good run attack by this Pittsburgh Steelers team in terms of rushing on the year for the team. But how is this going to shake out between the two RBs? Arthur Smith has proven you have to hold your breath. You cannot count on him using one RB or doing what you think he's going to do. Warren's oftentimes talked about as if he's the better runner, the more explosive runner, the better potential pass catcher, the big play potential guy. Jaylen Warren is the real winner of this news today, unless his ADP climbs up. You know, even with Najee, then we got a problem there. But right now, I would say as of this morning, I even did a phone call with somebody that said they had Najee in their flex, and I'm like, that's a good flex, you know, no problem. Even after that this morning, having that kind of thought process myself, this news right here tells me that the team does not necessarily believe Najee is their long-term answer or even their now answer. He's a part of their now answer, of course, and they're going to use him, but he's not locked into the starting role. This news tells me that his starting job, he might not even have it, and his start, his, you know, sharing the carry starting, you know, role, the half of the work, even if he's listed as the 1A to Jaylen Warren 1B, that's not secured up at all. And so Fields not getting his fifth-year option picked up. Najee Harris not getting his fifth-year option picked up. These two guys are potentially set to hit free agency in 2025. But I think Fields, if he balls out, will be franchise tag and extended. I think Najee ends up playing football for another team next year because this man will consume the franchise tag. So kind of an interesting turn of events. And at that, on that note, talk.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Talking let's see, who was he? He was having an interview here in this press conference type situation, and this report here, and you can even see the video of him answering this question. It's not just a written quote. They asked him about returning kicks. Hey, Jaylen Warren, are you going to maybe, with the new rules in the NFL, the new kickoff rules, are you intrigued or interested in running back footballs? And he goes, no, but he heard that Justin Fields would be potentially returning kicks in Pittsburgh, which is crazy when you think about it. Like, Fields, first of all, I don't think we want him returning kicks necessarily, but like, what does that do for your fantasy football scoring if you do get awarded, you know, return yards, or, you know, if you get touchdowns, they're going to be rare, right? So you're not going to start somebody at a quarterback position as a backup or as a starter or even a super flex in hopes that he gets a return touchdown. But if you get return yards, that makes Fields a weird player to rank in return yard leagues. But we don't know if this is fully true. It's got to be vetted a little more than just coming from the mouth of Jaylen Warren. But Justin Fields returning kicks is definitely crazy wild. Once he, and I believe the correct way to state this is once he takes over the job, not if he takes over, once he takes over the starting job in Pittsburgh, he won't be returning kicks anymore. But it is very interesting to hear that they want to get him involved in other ways. I really think they could use him in the backfield a lot. I don't think they'll be scared and worried about perception or optics or worry about Russell Wilson's feelings about having Fields out there throwing a ball and being in a wildcat formation. I think that's what you need to do. And I think that Mike Sullivan, who I believe is heading up the passing attack environment, not Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith, even though he's the offensive coordinator in name, honestly, I think somebody was owed a favor to even give this guy the offensive coordinator job. But from everything I can get my hands on news-wise and opinion-wise, at least, because we don't really know a whole bunch yet, it seems like Mike Sullivan's going to have more control of the offense in terms of the passing attack and all that. But there's certainly some opportunity for Fields to be used in Arthur Smith's wheelhouse running the football. So Fields is going to be a very interesting player to own in 2024, especially if a transition happens between like a wildcat, wide back type role that Fields could or may not play. It sounds like they want him to be on the field. And then when he transitions into the starting quarterback role, which I do believe will happen. But Jaylen Warren dropping this little nugget in this little I don't know, it was like a press conference type of feel, Q&A session. And this guy might be the starting running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Jaylen Warren. And Jaylen Warren might have some moon man potential unless his ADP continues to climb, because this guy did not have his fifth-year option picked up. So Najee Harris looking like he may not be the team's future starting running back in 2025. So there's no loyalty for him in 2024. That's the way this works in the NFL. So hit the odds of him keeping the starting job, lone starting job specifically, is now, in my opinion, not good. There's a really good chance this man's not starting even remotely close to half of the games in 2024. Could he still be used a lot? Do they want to run him into the ground, you know, on his way out the door? Probably they'll feel that way. But sometimes when this happens, the writing's on the wall that they don't feel like he's their long-term starter. Jaylen Warren is the guy to potentially own. This news from John Lynch. John Lynch speaking about Ayuk and Debo in that situation. We do have a super chat that just came in. I told you guys I'm gonna be on the super chats immediately when I see them. Make them very important. Make sure you guys understand that it is worth it to drop these super chats. Fields returning footballs, eyeball emoji, yikes emoji, scared emoji, confused emoji, smiling emoji. Thank you, Deckard, for dropping that. Actually, let's see what these are actually described as by the computer, and see if I'm actually describing these correctly. Let's have this read off for accuracy's sakes. Here we go. Read it off, computer. What are we looking at here?
Deckard super chat $1.99 from Deckard. Fields returning football's face with wide open eyes and flushed cheeks, eyes face screaming in fear, face with diagonal mouth, grinning face with big eyes, grinning face.
Thank you, Deckard. Appreciate you dropping that wonderful super chat, you monster, you. Deckard to the moon. John Lynch putting to bed that there's an Ayuk or Debo trade moving forward. There's some thinking that the Debo probably is unhappy based on his phone call he had with Diana Russini, which he said in a way didn't go down like Diana Russini said. And so it was like he said, she said. But basically what Diana Russini reported was, hey, how do you feel about being replaced, essentially, in so many words, by, you know, or having them draft your future replacement? Your future has been replaced, essentially, by Ricky Parasol. How does this feel, you know, that they were trying to move you, et cetera, et cetera? And his response in so many words was like, it is what it is kind of thing. And so Diana Russini reported it kind of that way, with that kind of feel. And Debo clapped back immediately and said, these reporters, you know, like as if it was twisted or taken out of context. So maybe it was. I'm not saying it was or wasn't. Sometimes these reporters jump the gun. I like Diana Russini. I think she's pretty accurate, but sometimes you get things wrong. Sometimes the players did say it the way that they said it, and they're just mad that you know, made it public so quick, or they're mad at the reaction people had to what you said, and you're like, damn it, I should have said that. And then you blame it on the reporter. So we don't fully know. All we know is that Debo's probably not happy. Debo, I think, would welcome a trade, to be honest with you, at this point. When think about any of you going to work and having your boss sit you down and say, we tried to get rid of you. We couldn't trade you to another company, but we did draft your replacement. He's sitting right over there in that cubicle. In about a year, he's taking your job. Let's get to work and have a good week. How about that? So Debo's probably feeling a little bit like that, whether you believe it or not. Whether you're a Niner fan and you think, oh, he's fine. He's not upset. He loves it here. He doesn't, probably, at this moment in time. But John tried to put any of that to rest. And John is a political PR machine. You know, he's in there to just like deflect. So you truly don't know what's going on. But he says, we're past all that now. We're thrilled to add to the group of Jennings, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Chris Conley, Ronnie Bell, Danny Gray. And now you add Ricky Parasol, who is potentially one of the future wide receivers, starting wide receivers of the two starting wide receivers slots in San Francisco, meaning Debo, where is he playing football next year? Ayuk, where is he playing football next year? Ayuk is not a guarantee to get signed now that his price tag has gone up and the Niners shitted the bed by not getting him signed before all these other contracts came screaming down and getting slapped right in front of everyone's face, and the Eagles playing 10D chess with everybody, dropping an extension with $87 million, I believe, or was $87 million guaranteed, getting dropped. Where's that? I have that somewhere on here. That was just like playing absolute 3D chess on everybody. I have it around here. I think it was $87 million guaranteed. But the guaranteed money is just insane now. And there's no guarantee that Ayuk is getting inked at this point. Dak Prescott, Dallas police won't pursue sexual assault charges against Dak Prescott after finding no evidence to support the accuser's claim. This could be kind of what's been in the way. Remember what I said the moment that the $100 million lawsuit was dropped a couple weeks back? I said, maybe we start hearing Jerry talking about an extension all of a sudden. Like, this was kind of in the way. You know, they didn't want to extend a player that was getting sued in a $100 million lawsuit for sexual assault. So they pumped the brakes on the extension. The moment that lawsuit was dropped, exactly what I said happened. Jerry was confusing about it because he's been saying no extension. We're worried about now. Not extending McCarthy, not extending Dak. We haven't given Lamb his extension. No Parsons. We're just worried on, we're focused on this year, 1 year at a time. Very, very clear message. Then the Dak Prescott $100 million lawsuit for sexual assault got dropped. And then all of a sudden, Jerry's at a press conference going, who in the world would think I'm not working on an extension night and day for Dak? Exactly what I said would happen. I honestly think there's still a 50-50 chance this, we're worried about this year, we're focused on this year. I 50-50% chance Dak gets extended. Because at the end of the day, there's nothing waiting for the Dallas Cowboys that's better than Dak Prescott. The problem isn't Dak. The problem is supporting Dak. No one's critical of Josh Allen. Well, they kind of are, but not to this degree where you're going to get rid of him. No one, not an intelligent person on this planet, would say, maybe we get rid of Josh Allen in Buffalo and win some championships. No, it's all about what do we need to do to keep building around him, which I don't think Buffalo smashed like they could have this offseason. They did pretty good, and Keon Coleman's going to be the determining factor of whether they really did improve things. And I think he could really flourish. I like Keon Coleman a lot right now. Admittedly, was on the fence about him, but going to this situation, looking at it a whole bunch more, looking at Josh Allen's comments about that was his number one targeted wide receiver he wanted to throw footballs to, whether he stretched that truth a little bit or not, just to make him feel good. The fact that Josh Allen's saying that makes me feel really good about Keon Coleman right now. And so he's arguably the number four locked and loaded wide receiver from this rookie draft class after the big three. And you could say Brian Thomas Jr. now with Zay Jones released is right up there too, no doubt about it. But Dak Prescott, if he gets extended, and again, there's no better option. No one's saying, get rid of Lamar Jackson because they can't win the big game, right? No one's saying get rid of Josh Allen because they can't win the big game. But everybody's saying it about Dak. And this team should have brought in an RB. Barkley was there. Henry was there. Jacobs was there. And instead, they get nobody. They don't even draft somebody. They crap the bed harder than I've ever seen a team crap the bed before. And then they bring back Zeke Elliott. Old man Zeke Elliott, who maybe he looks okay and quick in his shorts and t-shirt right now. But what happens when he's on the field and he's averaging 3.3 yards per carry? And is that going to support Dak? Is that going to put Dak in a light that makes it look like he's worth extending if everybody's doubting him? I think the Cowboys are shitting the bed hardcore on this situation. And quite honestly, I don't know that it's going to be a great year overall, at least as good of a year fantasy-wise. I think it's still going to be potent. It's still going to be CeeDee Lamb to the moon. But Lamb's getting drafted like number two overall right now. Dare I say, he's kind of in a little bit of a long-term risky situation. Maybe redraft, we can argue, 2, 3, 4, 5 overall, still very good for CeeDee Lamb. But if Dak isn't there, if Jerry's not absolutely bluffing, and he could be, 50-50 he is, I really think Jerry might extend Dak once someone slaps him across the face finally and says, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that's better than Dak Prescott? He's literally a top-5 quarterback production-wise during the regular season. And you need to support him, which you didn't do at the running back position. You need to support him during the playoffs because he'll crumble when you put it all on his shoulders, as a lot of quarterbacks will. So I have a feeling that this right here triggers some Dak Prescott extension conversations, because the Dallas police are not pursuing charges. The lawsuit was dropped, and all of a sudden you're going to see Jerry going, yeah, we want to sign this guy. He's not a PR nightmare anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you one of the more exciting wide receivers in this entire 2024 rookie draft class. Javon Baker might be the best receiver on the New England Patriots roster. And this isn't something that's coming just from his mouth. This is, you know, we talked about him a couple shows ago. We talked about about three or four times. This kid's an exciting kid. This kid has the potential, the Amon-Ra St. Brown mentality. I think Travis even said the build. This could be not only the number one wide receiver in the New England Patriots system, but this could be one of the most exciting bang for your buck explosion from their ADP potential grabs in fantasy rookie drafts. And I'm just afraid the cat will get out of the bag too quickly, because people like to cling on to these kind of things. Once there's news or buzz about the next big sleeping giant, Puka Nacua gem, everybody loves digging into it. And I think you'll be able to get this guy for a discount for quite a while, but the cat will be out of the bag. The moment he starts flashing something of sorts, it's going to be harder and harder to get him. As of right now, why not do this? Why not? I don't know if I'm going to lock it in, but we need to maybe potentially do it.
The moon men dropping loads in outer space.
Let's just put them here for now. We'll make it official later.
Space moon says.
If I'm feeling it, but why not? Why not Javon Baker? Why not Javon Baker? You know, it can be Zamir. It can be Penix. Why not Javon? Maybe he ends up being one of the most exciting rookie prospects to kind of come out of obscurity for a while. And the reason he's coming out of obscurity is because he was not the first drafted wide receiver. He's the second guy on the team that they pulled in from this 2024 rookie wide receiver class. He's interesting. He's such a good prospect. And when you hear somebody say something like this, he's hungry. He says, no way in effing America. 10 receivers better than me. Out of your effing mind. This guy's confidence is through the roof. I'm loving it. And he just feels like such a fun prospect. And he's got a wide open wide receiver room. Wide open. Polk is good. I'm not saying Polk isn't the number one there, but I'm not saying he is. Because this guy is going to tell you he's not. He's going to say, Polk, go get me a coffee, Polk. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying Polk won't then say, hey, no, Javon Baker, go get me a coffee. And then they're going back and forth and they're saying, get the coffee, do it live. You get the coffee. I need a coffee. Everybody needs a coffee. Hey, why don't we just look over to this guy over here. Hey, Pop Douglas, go get us some soda pops and coffee, pal. And maybe they're sipping on coffees together. Certainly possible. But I definitely have to say 100% without hesitation, without equivocation, without any sort of diarrhea of the mouth. This guy right here,
Stone on the Rise.
You're gonna wanna keep an eye on him, okay? You're gonna wanna keep an eye on him. No one's saying take him at 1.18. No one's saying take him at 1.11 in your draft. I'm just saying when you start looking around your rookie-only draft and you start taking stabs in the dark, maybe you should be taking a stab in the dark on Javon Baker is all I'm trying to tell you. Source is himself. Yeah, that's correct, Prime. You want to know who the source is? Himself. He said there's no way there's 10 receivers better than him. Source, me. Source me. And he said, Prime, get me a coffee. That is the news, ladies and gentlemen. It was short, it was sweet, but it was, I think, quite plentiful. And now the phone lines are open. Call into the phone lines brought to you by the attic.shop. The attic.shop. Dial in.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
TheAttic.shop, formerly known as Grindhouse. I'm wearing my The Attic t-shirt right now. This is the Reptilicus. This little number. Let me show it off right now. Let me give you guys my drip and my fit, okay? No nails painted. We're going with the non-nail polish look, okay? We got the Reptilicus drip coming from the Attic, aka Grindhouse, formerly known as Grindhouse. We're gonna go ahead. We've got instead of going with the really nice watch like Caleb, we've got the Fitbit, and then we've got the glasses, which are essentially, these are Gunner glasses, blue light blocking sunglasses, and that's Smitty's fit right now. And we got some Costco, amazing Costco shorts. They're the thick version. I think the brand is Cool. They're kind of waterproof. They got zippers on the side, zippers on the back. This is the fit that Smitty's rolling with today. That has been my Caleb Williams wardrobe explanation of the day.
Yeah. Mashed potatoes!
Yeah, buddy.
Jason from Cali, you are live.
What's up, Smitty? How you doing?
Yo.
So in the spirit of best ball, I didn't do it last year because it was only my second go at fantasy, and okay, I wanted to get ahead of it today.
Yep.
Like, since it just opened, I think, what, yesterday maybe?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
I'm just a little bit – I feel like I'm all over the place. So, like, my first draft, I got Ja'Marr Chase at 1.4. Second draft, I drafted CD. And I'm just trying to space it out, and I was kind of wondering, like, what your approach is for best ball, if you're going to do a live draft tonight. Like, that way, you know, I know we all get graded differently, but, like, you still draft in a 12-team league, even though you're not actually trying to win a 12-team league, right?
I mean, there's so many different strategies of best ball. To be quite honest with you, man, I think people make it way too complicated. The strategies within the strategies, I think they come to you as you get more experienced. You know what I mean? I think when you try and chew gum before you walk, you're going to have problems. I think you should try and learn to walk and then start chewing the gum and then start juggling and then start doing all these things. And what I mean by that is go into best ball drafts, take best player available, start building your teams, get honed in on that process. And then as you do it, you're going to be so good at it, you can then start juggling stacks. Then you can start juggling, okay, I've seen Mahomes go at 5.4 in the last 4 out of 6 drafts I've done. I'm going to wait on Mahomes here. I'm taking Kelce here because he is the best player available, and I've got a good likelihood of getting Mahomes in round 5 now. And then you start developing the stack strategy. To go in one-dimensional and say, go wide receiver, that is the dumbest approach you can take. If best okay. player available is wide receiver, that's the smartest approach you can take. I just said this. I just blew your mind, didn't I? I just said the same thing. The problem is you got to go in best player available, hone in on your skills of drafting the best you can within the confines of the ADP on underdog and the drafters on underdog, the styles of people on underdog, make some mistakes, end up going running back and not liking it, end up going running back and liking it, realizing that you can like it and not like it, realizing that every draft you do isn't going to be perfect, and realizing that if you do get screwed out of wide receivers, doing a running back doesn't mean that all of them are going to be that way. Sometimes where your draft slot is, the more you do, and I hate to say this because not everybody can afford to do 150 maxed out drafts on Best Ball Mania. So take advantage of the $3 drafts. Take advantage of those. And then once you can even join the even smaller ones where it's like, you know, $2 or whatever, and you're just playing against other people and you're not playing for a big prize. But the point is, the more drafts you do, the more you're going to understand how to navigate, you know. And I almost say it's a mistake not to play last year because you would have been prepped a lot more for this year for the big go at it. But you have to hit best ball and fail before you can hit best ball and win. It's the God's honest truth. Trying to walk you through all these different, this is how you do it. No. It's go do it to the best of your ability, and then you start getting good at all the other small little twists and turns and strategies. And then once you're a veteran on best ball, once they grant you that red badge where you've literally done so many drafts that you're going to be able to juggle everything at once. And that's the true nature of mastering the art of best ball. But to tell somebody go in and do this, I can't. I'd be lying to you by saying, go wide receiver. When you do CeeDee Lamb, take go wide receiver. You have there's so many. Going wide receiver might work from one draft slot and work 6 out of 10 times. Going wide receiver from another draft slot, even if you were forcing it like a Bob, might work 8 out of 10 times from this draft slot. It might work 2 out of 10 times from this draft slot. Like, there's too many variables to give you over the phone guidance on it. But you can ask me like a general question and I'll tell you. But I can tell you with certainty, best ball is do it, then come to me, and then we start having a unique conversation. It's really hard to tell someone how to play best ball in one conversation.
No, I got you.
Yeah.
Do you have time for one more follow-up?
Yeah, no, I have time, and you can give me a couple of scenarios. I'm just merely saying, like, hey, what do I do when I draft Lamb? Like, bro, talk about question.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Hit me with your question, though, about Lamb and Chase, and I'll try and give you the best advice I can.
So, like you said, I've been, you know, I stay watching your shows all the time. I've watched a few other people like Flock, and this isn't to put any hate out there. I just like the way you approach the draft a little bit better.
We got rules on this.
Finish him. Call terminated.
Anytime we mention, let's see here. Jason, you made the phone call mishap. You started to mention other channels on the phone line. No show for you for one day on the phone line. I'm sorry, pal.
Finish him. Call terminated.
In general, it's the rules are the rules. Ron Navy can do it. I don't care if Ron Navy's the highest super chatter on this channel. If he calls in and does the misstep, he gets hung up on. It's just common rules. Where were we at? So yeah, best ball, guys, people are going to try and tell you to do something specific with best ball. Don't listen to them. Tebow checking in from the poker felt. Najee is going to run like a man possessed this year. Guaranteed. Well, Tebow, I think you can call in, but I think you're literally just saying this. He was saying negative things. I get it. We'll give him another chance. Jason, call him one more time, but just move on. Guaranteed, run like a man possessed. Call in. Let's discuss this, Tebow, because you're saying this from a biased perspective. But I love your $20 hauler approach.
Alert. Super chat alert.
$20 super chat.
Call on one more time, Jason. We'll do this right. It's a biased approach because they just didn't pick up his fifth-year option. I think you could say this, though, Tebow. The Pittsburgh Steeler duo, whoever's starting, is probably going to do pretty well. Question is, we don't know, bro. We have no idea which running back is going to be the starter mid-season. I believe Najee will get the nod. Will it be 60-40, though, out of the gate? It could be. Arthur's done this, bro. Arthur's the one in charge. We don't trust Arthur Smith with the utilization of the backs, the divide of the workload. Arthur's not the guy you want to have in charge of this. You just don't want it to be the case. It sucks. Like, if Arthur wasn't here, I'd have much more confidence. But this fifth-year option thing, Tebow, is not good. When you don't pick up the fifth-year option on a player, you are saying something. And someone could say the same thing about Fields, and they are saying something. Fields hasn't earned anything yet. But I believe Fields will come out swinging. I believe Russell Wilson will fail. And maybe not extremely, but like he will be replaced at some point by Fields, and then Fields will be franchise tagged. Not to mention, it's probably more beneficial anyway to franchise tag Fields and sign him to a new deal if he's the real deal anyway. This won't have any sort of harm or effect on Fields because they're going to lock him up big time. Najee, you kind of want to pick up that fifth-year option if you're believing this is the guy. Jason, did you have any other follow-ups on best ball? Or explain to me what you're trying to say about Jamar Chase or Lamb. Just ask your question with that.
Yes. Okay. So I ended up getting a stack on Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, but I didn't force it. I got Joe Burrow in the seventh round, and I took Jamar Chase like fourth or fifth pick. It seems like you like that trend, right? Getting Joe Burrow around 7.3, that's a good pickup.
Yeah. I mean, he's good there. I'll be honest, though. I mean, I like Mahomes in the fifth round way better than anything.
Okay, he went in the fourth round on that one, but I know it's kind of like he's fallen around 4.7, 4.8.
Yeah.
And I heard you about, like, since obviously not everyone's in the same position, I'm going to drill a few more of the $3 drafts just because, like you said, repetition is more than anything.
It's good.
I think the main things I just was really questioning about, so I don't waste my time or your time or caller's time, is when you're stacking, like on one of my three ball drafts, I got Devon Achane super late round two. I got Raheem Mostert round nine. And then just for the hell of it, I took Jalen Wright at, like, I think the 144th pick.
Yeah, nothing
so
wrong.
So just in case someone got injured. Do you kind of like that approach?
Yes.
Having
yes.
all three Dolphins back?
I've done it several times because 100%? The cost of entry is nothing. It, like, whenever you got to remember back in the day, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. You had to spend like a third and fourth rounder to get that cuffed up. And also, you have these scared Scotties that think, oh, you'll waste a roster spot on having all three of them. That's ridiculous. It's not a waste. If you better, like, if you're drafting CMC, you're not crazy in best ball to have two of the cuffs to go with CMC, Grendo and Mitchell. You could be screwing yourself not having Mason, though. But, like, you like this in best ball, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. The only caveat is it becomes difficult and it does hit your ability to build a well-balanced team, and you're using resources badly when those two players cost a lot together and they're both like Najee and Jaylen Warren could be an example of where you don't want to cuff them at some point. If Warren climbs all the way up and Najee falls a little bit and they're almost neck and neck picks, or they're within a half a round of each other, then it becomes not efficient to grab both of the backs. In the case of Mostert dropping so far, Mostert's getting no respect whatsoever on the ADP. And I understand why, because he's, 7,000 years old. But you grab him late, you grab Wright very late, near the end of the draft, and you grab Achane in the second round, you are doing no damage to your draft capital, resource spending situation at all. So I've done it in like five leagues already since the rookie draft. Five drafts already. So cuffing in best ball is great because you believe in the Miami Dolphin running game, I'm sure, as do I, no matter who's back there. So give me all three of them, and I'm smiling ear to ear.
Yeah. I was also able to get Tank Bigsby in the 18th on my other best ball when I picked up ETN, which I felt like was just kind of a move you would say, it's your last pick, might as well grab him if he's available. My other follow-up question, just so I make sure I'm, like, I think other people could benefit from this question, is on the two recent best balls that I did do, I felt like I grabbed Kincaid a little bit early, and I kind of forced it at pick 50, because tight ends were flying off the board a lot faster in this draft for some reason. Like, Trey McBride and Travis Kelce were gone in the fourth round. I think even, like, it was either pick up Kincaid because he seems like the safest bet in Buffalo over a Buffalo wide receiver, or kind of just go for depth on my team. And with best ball, I want your clarification. I know you said you go for the best player available every time, but in some of these drafts, it's like I see guys, and I'm not saying I should do this. I know it's kind of crazy. I see guys really forcing like five straight wide receiver picks. But it also depletes the field, and by round maybe five, I'm kind of looking at like a Terry McLaurin as my third wide receiver, and I don't know if I want to be falling in that range.
Yeah, but it's tough because you get in a trap though, and you start right. playing follow the leader, and it's a catch 22, and it's an argument as old as time. Do you follow the trend of wide receivers going off the board and get one of the last guys that you feel like is at least they're behind all those other guys, but at least you're getting somebody? Or do you take the best running back or tight end or quarterback available that is still light years ahead of any of the guys that those guys have, and then they start playing follow the leader with you? And then the other thing, too, when you're in a best ball draft and there's trending of wide receivers, you might say, okay, I'm going to fall victim to this. I'm going to grab a wide receiver because they're flying off the board. I don't want to be stuck with somebody I don't like. But had you gone the other direction, this doesn't always happen. This is the repetition, the draft slot versus the flow. Like, the experience will tell you whether you're going to get away with this or not. But sometimes, instead of going wide receiver when there's a plethora of wide receivers going, you jump to the other side, draft against traffic, draft against the grain. You take Patrick Mahomes or you take a running back like Derrick Henry. And then all of a sudden, a trend happens with QBs, running backs, a couple wide receivers, and then by the time your next pick is up, two or three wide receivers have gone. You know, like, it went heavy on the other side, and then you're like, God, thank God I didn't go wide receiver, because the same guy I was considering still available, but I would not have gotten the other guy if I wouldn't have gone with the best player available. Yeah. So, and sometimes it will backfire. That's why you're doing tons of best ball drafts. Sometimes it'll backfire. I'll do a draft live. I did that Mahomes, Rashee Rice, and I never draft Rashee Rice, but I did on this live stream.
Yeah.
I drafted Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Mahomes, Kelsey, and I tried it, and it was good. My team was pretty good. I had Gibbs and I forget who else I had, but it was a really good team. I didn't start my KC Chiefs stack until we got to round three and beyond. I think I had Gibbs and who is my JJ. I had JJ and Gibbs. Was that the team? I think that was the team that I had. I had something like that. No, I didn't have JJ and Gibbs. I had, what did I have? Does anybody remember what I had? I had Gibbs and a wide receiver, and then I didn't start my KC stack till later, and it still didn't feel like the best draft. I felt like I could have went in a different direction, but it was the best start I could have had. I think it was Kelsey, JJ, Gibbs, and Mahomes was my first four picks, taking best player available.
Okay.
And that was an unbelievable start, but it didn't go the way that I wanted the rest of the draft. Doesn't mean that wasn't the most unbelievable start. You know, not going wide receiver, just because the team didn't work out the way I wanted, that didn't mean that it wasn't the best approach to begin with, and you just run it back. It was AJB and Gibbs. That's right. AJB, Gibbs, Kelsey, Mahomes. Yeah, AJB, Gibbs, Kelsey, Mahomes, which is phenomenal.
So, I guess, like, the final thing I've been struggling with is I was able to pick up Brock Bowers in, I think, like round 9 on one of my best ball drafts. But Patrick Mahomes has been going like early round 4. Do you think where do you think a good position is to grab Mahomes? Is round 4 fair, or is it really like grab him at round 5 if he's there or not any earlier kind of thing?
I draft him at 4 all the time. I try and get him at late 4. His ADP is 47, 48 overall. So we're talking about not early 4. It's definitely trending toward late 4.
Okay.
I think that, and I'm looking at a draft right here. On the clock right now in the middle of round 4. And he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players down. So middle of round 4, 7 players down. He's going to fall right, and I won't get him on the next go. So do I take him in the middle of 4, or do I let him fall? Probably won't fall to me. He has fallen to the middle of round 5 before, but it's very rare. So I have to take him in the middle of 4. But I don't take him at the beginning of 4, usually. I can. I mean, I have. But there's nothing wrong with Mahomes anywhere inside round 4. If you want to, in best ball, stack a certain way and not force it, but it feels perfectly lined up to stack. Stacking should only be done when it makes sense. Stacking should not be done just to stack. That is the biggest misconception in best ball content creation that I see. And so many people just regurgitate what they see and hear. And because somebody won with this setup, everybody thinks that's how you have to build. It's not the case. Like, data is bigger than that. Data is deeper than that. And nobody's looking at the teams that didn't make it in tremendous detail to say, hey, good God, if this team didn't lose, AR5 to injury and Joe Burrow, because they drafted bully quarterbacks in that sense, they would have won everything. They just didn't even have a quarterback. All their quarterbacks got hurt, but their team was so much better than this wide receiver. Nobody's looking at any of that data, and they're just looking at who won, and everybody's following everybody else. And I guarantee you that after 2024, there will be a lot of people trying to be bold and creative and outside the box like we are on this show, saying, maybe you don't stack. You know, maybe you don't go wide receiver. And everybody's going to be sitting here talking about it next year, I guarantee you. And it's going to become more trendy because everybody likes to do something different. And they're going to start looking at this. Everybody else right now is just following the leader.
Yeah.
And there are ways that can burn you. Because then you, even though you are not taking a wide receiver because they're not the best pick available, you get screwed at wide receiver. There's certainly going to be drafts where that happens. And I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully okay with that. I'm going to draft against traffic and draft best player available and stack and strategically look at all these different things while I'm drafting. Chewing gum, juggling, walking, running. Everything all at the same time, but it takes practice in order to do all those things. You can't be told to do something. And people that instruct somebody to go a position and not best player available, they're basically, in some ways, cheating that person out of becoming really good from the floor up. The foundation of their best ball skills are going to forever be ruined because they're glossing over all the fundamentals. And they're building on top of faulty foundation because then they're just drafting a position. Put a blindfold on, take a wide receiver. Oh, now go and get running backs. Nothing wrong with hero RB. I do a hero RB video. I do a superhero RB video. I do a zero wide receiver video, a zero running back video, zero quarterback video, which essentially is waiting to the end of the draft. We'll do all of those, but those are strategies that are handed to you when best player available says, hey, this is the best path, take it, this or this. Sometimes you get three of them. Sometimes you draft balance, you go wide receiver, running back, or running back, wide receiver, and you start off very, very balanced, and now you have three different avenues. You can go hero RB if you went running back, wide receiver. You still can go hero RB because all you need is the one running back, and then you could, whatever. You could go quarterback late. Like, all those strategies open up to you once you take best player available. I will always be a best player available recommender. I cannot envision myself ever drafting a position over a player. I think it's stupid.
Okay. Yeah. 100%. I almost sit there thinking, like, that you're going to smack me on the back of the head if I get a little bit cute and think, hey, let me go ahead and pick up. And that was my last and final question. And this is where I feel like my foundation is strong. Like, on both of my two first best ball drafts, I really felt good. Like, I went hero RB on the first one. I ended up, every single pick I had was after the ADP. So, like, my pick showed that I picked him at a good round, I guess. But just an example, I was able to get, like, Kyren, Pacheco, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, hit a hero RB smash on that one.
Yep, nice bounce.
And then I realized, like, the positioning is a little bit different than my normal league that I play in. It's three wide receiver, one flex, two RB, correct?
What, best ball?
Yeah. And half PPR, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on, some of them are different, but it's three wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex, yeah. One QB.
Okay.
So, click the info button on the draft, and it'll explain at the bottom. Like, make sure you know that when you're drafting. You got to know your format. Always take a gander at it, because you never know. You could be running in some weird little. Usually, that's how they all are, though. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, hey, Jason, I gotta let you go. Appreciate you, bro. Call in tomorrow or later tonight.
All right, bye.
All right. Channel says you have only one draft, 1.1. Who you taking? I think at 1.1, you only have one draft, or only one draft with 1.1. Because if you had just one draft, it's hard not to say CMC and just say, look, you know, let it ride one more year. It is hard not to say that. But do I want you to trade down if it's just one draft and get into a Bijan and get some extra draft capital? That's what I would like you to do. If you can't do that, I guess you could just say one draft I mean, who plays one draft? But if that's the question, I guess you go CMC. Just one draft sucks. That's why I never recommend anybody play one draft. Your whole season could get taken out by one single injury. The guy's 28 years old, and running backs fall off the face of the earth sometimes at 28, especially when they've had the workload that CMC has had. It is one of the riskiest propositions in fantasy this year. It's so risky on both sides. To not take him 1.1 is hella risky. To take him 1.1, hella risky. They're both equally risky at this point. What is going on? Rock out, my guy. You're live.
You're live.
Yeah, can you explain why Ayuk and Olave win the second round in the best ball draft I'm in?
No. I can't. Yeah, actually, I can. The same reason that Nico and Diggs are going so high. Because people are divided. The houses are divided as to who the number one is. The houses are divided on Debo. The houses are divided on Ayuk. And in some crazy way, we're not seeing them both fall. And the houses were divided on Tank Dell, Diggs, and Nico to the point where all three, if you remember back a few weeks ago, all three were in round two. But we knew one would fall out because of the natural order of things that people would, it would shove one of them out, and Tank Dell got crapped out and pushed into round three, then got pushed into round four, and thank God Tank Dell has returned to his round four home.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm thankful for it. You're thankful for it. Thank goodness, because now he's the only Houston Texan wide receiver you can draft. You can't take Nico in round two. What kind of world do you live in? You can't take Diggs, and he's kind of falling to end of round two to top of three, but even Diggs at the top of three feels like a round two pick to me. I'm out. Give me Tank Dell in round four. I mean, he's even going like round 4. He's going like 4.5, 4.7. I'm all about that. That's fine. Not in every league, though, but I do love it. As far as Debo and Ayuk, I guarantee you one of them tails off a little bit. I think this whole draft, who's getting traded, is Ayuk going to be in San Francisco by himself? Is Debo going to be in Buffalo? Is Debo going to be in San Francisco by himself? Are they trading Ayuk to Pittsburgh? All of that triggered a bunch of emotions, and people are trying to pick their house, right? And so I think eventually one of them will tail into round three. One of them will remain at the end of round two. John says if he doesn't want CMC, I probably go at that height of a draft. I guess, like, for some reason, I want to say Tyreek Hill. I don't know that I want to pick Lamb. JJ, you can't pick. Jamar Chase. I mean, Bijan or Hill, I would say. If you said, Smitty, you're getting on an airplane that's taking off before week one kicks off, and the airplane lands in week 19, and you've got to pick at 1.1 in one draft, doesn't matter. You can't trade. Doesn't matter what the draft capital is. Just make sure you pick the right guy. The plane door is closing. Someone says, yell out two names. One running back, one wide receiver. It can't be CMC. I'm saying Bijan and Tyreek. And that closes. I don't know what to tell anybody. If anybody does one league, it's a hypothetical question to put, you know, the clamps on me and see who I pick. I get that. I'm not an idiot. No one plays in one league anymore. But that's why we don't play in one league. You can't just have just CMC. Your whole season, your whole fantasy of hopes and dreams riding on a 28-year-old running back that's playing for Kyle Shanahan in the most aggressive run system in the league that gets players hurt. No, thank you. What else did you say, Rockout?
Oh, where do you like Stroud?
Not as high as everybody else. I like him. I think he's top 5-6, but he's not a 2 or a 3 or a 1. He doesn't run enough. You know, in fantasy, it's hard to beat these quarterbacks like Hurts and Josh Allen and even Mahomes when they're running a ton. And so, by default, he can't be in my top 3. And, you know, Joe Burrow struggles with the same thing. Like, Joe Burrow can only climb so high because he doesn't have that running factor. JD5 and AR5 have the potential to outscore both Stroud and Joe Burrow. Not saying they'll stay healthy. They may or may not. but they have the potential to outscore both those guys given the running. I mean, Josh Allen ran for, what, 10 touchdowns? Ziggy, how many rushing yards did Josh Allen have in 2023?
In the 2023 season, Josh Allen rushed for 524 yards for the Buffalo Bills.
Ziggy, how many rushing touchdowns did Josh Allen have in 2023? I think it was 10.
In the 2023 season, Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills.
Did he have
he was ranked second in 2023.
Ziggy off. Did he have 15 through the playoffs, or was it, how many was it during the season? God, 15 touchdowns?
In the Northern Hemisphere, it is spring. Spring lasts
Thanks, Ziggy.
March 19th,
Ziggy off. Ziggy off. You're worthless. You're done here. God, Josh Allen's Josh Allen's amazing. He's amazing. 15 total touchdowns on the entirety of the year. 50 total. You know, Josh Allen had 50 total touchdowns from start to finish in the entirety of the 2023 season. 50 total touchdowns.
He
included the playoffs. That is unreal. And then he runs for the amount of yards he runs. He's capable of running on a couple 100-yard games. You know, that alone, you get 100 yards and a touchdown in a single game as a quarterback. So as much as I love C.J. Stroud, he is QB 5 or 6 at most, but that's really good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not taking Stroud. Like, some people have Stroud as their dynasty QB 1, and I can't do that. I can't take even Jalen Hurts. I'm not taking Jalen Hurts out of the top 3 dynasty. I see so many garbage content creators that, like, will put up these QB rankings and even if they're just doing NFL QB rankings, they put Hurts outside the top 10 so much that it just makes me want to vomit all over. Like a person that's put themselves in a position to give advice or shovel info and rankings in front of a big audience that is going to have Jalen Hurts out of the top 10 NFL quarterbacks. I understand it's different. It's not to me. It might be to somebody else. I get it. I know what time it is. No, I'm not just a fantasy mind. Josh Allen's a top 5 NFL quarterback and a top 1-3 fantasy football quarterback. Like, these people are wild. These people are wild. Anybody that thinks that Josh Allen is not a top 5 NFL quarterback, anybody that thinks that they'd rather have Brock Purdy over Josh Allen from an NFL perspective is living in fairy tale land. Pixie dust everywhere. But I like Stroud a lot. I just think Stroud is going to have, you know, he's going to grow. He's going to be a top, you know, 5 long-term QB, but hard to get over that 2-3 area territory with these running quarterbacks. Even JD5 and AR5 could outscore Stroud, like, on any given season, you know, just because of their running. AR5 is going to be amazing. Look what he did. I mean, look what he did in a very short period of time. In a way, he's almost going to, like, continue his rookie year, you know, because he didn't play the entirety of his season. And so, in a way, I feel like he's still kind of a rookie. Anthony Richardson. Let me pull up his stats real quick. I'm just kind of relishing him. He was QB4 in week 1, which was kind of crazy. QB19 didn't play. QB2 and then got hurt. So, I mean, it's basically like his rookie year. Like, we don't have very much to go on at all for him. But the fact that he ran for, in week 1, 1 rushing touchdown and threw for a touchdown in week 1. In week number 2, he ran for 2 touchdowns, didn't even throw one. In week number 3, he threw for 2 touchdowns and still ran for a touchdown. AR5 has never played a football game if you exclude his injury game. In week 5 where he got hurt. So we take that game out. He has never played a full game in the NFL and not rushed for a touchdown. So AR5 is small sample, but good God. You know, we for a guy that didn't even have wide receivers or, you know, on the same page, and JT and all this nonsense going on with that team last year. It's going to be really interesting to see what AR5 does. Anything else? What do I think? What?
How do you think AR5 and JT go work out together this coming year?
Yeah, JT's a curious case, man. I know a lot of people. I want to say, like, Jonathan Taylor is. People that say Jonathan Taylor's, you know, top two or three, or you're way undervaluing Jonathan Taylor. That's the same type of person that loves Deontay Johnson. That's the same type of person that, and I'm not saying that loving Deontay Johnson's bad. I'm not saying that loving Jonathan Taylor's wrong. I'm just saying there is a natural inclination to protect a certain type of player that's underrated, underdog mentality. And I think people that are objective with JT say he's got a lot of upside. Just take him in the right spot. You can't take him at the 12, 13 turn. This is a running back that had the running back one season that he had. The only season he's had that's been amazing. The year he was running back one, it was the lowest running back one we have ever been handed in fantasy. It was like any other year, he would have been like running back three or four. If I remember correctly on the stats, if you plugged his numbers into a different season. So he just happened to dominate the weakest year for RBs. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a ton of upside. And I spelled his name wrong. Jonathan. Jonathan. I feel like it changed it on me. Jonathan Taylor, JT, love him in round two. Love him in mid round two. Love him especially in late round two. Will not take him above Barkley. Will not take him above Achan. Will not take him above Marvin Harrison Jr. And so he does end up being a player I don't own a lot of shares of. Not because I hate him or doubt him. I just don't have him, you know, in this territory of like 12, 13 turn. And so I don't own a lot of him. I think he's got a lot of upside. He's got to stay healthy. You know, his quarterback vultures rushing touchdowns. There are a lot of Barkley in New York concerns here. Now, New York had no good quarterback, but you could say AR5 is going to just consume things in a way that it almost feels like Barkley in New York. Like, there are some of those fears of, like, are the opportunities, not because the team's bad like New York, but because AR5 is the heart and soul of the team. He's the absolute in this offense. He's the one that everything is going to run through. It makes it kind of feel a little bit limiting like New York did for Barkley. Barkley couldn't get rushing touchdowns and near the goal line. Indy will be near the goal line. But AR5 is going to consume touchdowns. I just told you, he had one touchdown in week one. He had two touchdowns in week two. He had one touchdown in week four, because he didn't play week three. Those are his three straight games, his first three games in the NFL. He had literally five touchdowns in three games. On the ground only. He still threw for touchdowns. He had four touchdowns in three games. Four, five, six, seven. He had seven touchdowns in three games. Seven touchdowns in three games. That is unreal. You multiply that by 17 games, that's 40 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Anything else, Rockout? Rockout!
Who do you think could be the wide receiver Downs or Mitchell?
A.D. Mitchell, probably. I think A.D. Mitchell in time could be, you know, take over as the one. But it'll certainly be Pittman at first. It'll certainly be a better shot of Pittman on the year. A.D. Mitchell's kind of the one wide receiver. I didn't really want to go to a place where there was a little bit of cloudiness. Because then, and I don't know. There's some off-the-field concerns with him. There's a lot of concerns. I think the odds of him working out aren't slim to none or anything like that, but they're certainly not like the best odds. They're just, they're good. They're okay odds. There's a lot of reasons to be concerned about A.D. Mitchell, I think. But I like him. He's got the talent, and if he does like mature and progress properly, he has a great situation. I like A.D. Mitchell a lot. I just don't know if it'll all work out or not. He feels like an in-between of Michael Pittman Jr. and Kadarius Toney. So there's the Kadarius Toney concern of A.D. Mitchell, and then there's the can he be as good or greater than Michael Pittman Jr.
And what do you think about Najee Harris been dropping?
I mean, Najee Harris, as I said at the top of the show, no fifth-year option is not good. I think Jaylen Warren is the better back to own at cost. We'll see.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, his ADP, Najee Harris's ADP on Underdog, if we go to Underdog and look it up, Underdog Fantasy promo code Smitty, Underdog will match. Actually, use code Smitty to claim your special pick, plus first-time deposit offer up to now $250 in bonus cash. So use code Smitty, the link I'm going to drop in the live chat. I don't know how long this is going to last, so you guys better just at least hit the link and try. To sign up now just so you're ready for the draft, but use code Smitty or the link. The link inserts code Smitty for you. The link's in the description of the video. My link or code Smitty will help you claim this special pick and then first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. So do it live, do it well. And if I look at the Underdog Fantasy ADP data, Najee, I mean, he's going so late, though, you know, 86 overall.
Still like 7-8 rounds.
I mean, you still got, there's a reason, though, he's going there now. Before, it was kind of confusing, but, like, it looks like the ADP knew it was going to happen, you know, because now it's like, but still, would you rather have Zamir White, Ramondre, Monty, Kenneth Walker, because those are the running backs right above him. I don't know at this point.
I'll take White or K9.
Jaylen Warren's going 93 overall, and Najee's going 80 to 86. And this news can't help Najee. So if he falls further and Warren climbs above him, then we have a dilemma there. Like, but if Warren never climbs above 85, 80 overall, there's no risk in that. One could say, I mean, you could say cuff the two of them right now. If the values on Underdog remain, I don't think the value of Najee in a real-life draft with your buddies is going to be the same as this Underdog draft value. I think Underdog has him really low, and for good reason, but him being right around 80 to 86 overall, I believe in your mom-and-pop draft, people will draft him on name, and he'll go like more like the 60s or 50s. But we'll see. But right now, not crazy to cuff the two for now, as long as it will last. If it can be done outside of the 80 overall pick, I'm okay with that. But even that, it's like, what if they eat into each other's work? You know, again, the question is, would you rather have Zamir White rather than try and get this handcuff situation right, knowing Arthur Smith screwed you before? Like, is Zamir White better than trying to cuff the two? Is Trey Benson and James Conner cuffing that combo better? And that's the same exact territory. Is James Conner and Benson better than Najee and Warren? They both can be cuffed at the exact same 80-plus territory for both of them. I would say give me Conner and Benson.
I'll take Benson.
I mean, I think Benson's going to be a league winner. Wait a minute. Is he a Mars man?
He's on a shuttle to Mars. Mars man.
The moon man.
And look at this guy. Dropping loads and out. What do you know? Javon Baker, for right now, he's a moon man. I think he might stay. Javon Baker. Anybody missed the Javon Baker news, go rewatch the show at the news section. The top of the show, the monologue. Javon Baker may stay on the Moon Man list. We kind of did that for fun in a way, but I mean, I I truly believe I might keep it. Anything else, Rock Out?
No, that's it for right now.
All right, call in tonight, bro. We'll be back. We'll be live again. I'm not leaving yet, but I just, you know, call back. We'll see you.
Yep.
All right, Rock Out, he's in the building. Orion dropping a $5 hauler like a monster in a world. In a world where they come out and say Warren is running back one. What is the highest you feel comfortable drafting? Possible moon man? Question mark. Orion, that is a great question. Anytime you say in a world, I have to use the movie voice. In a world. Let me see if I have music for this. In a world where they come out and say Warren is the running back one. What is the highest you would feel comfortable drafting the possible moon man? Question mark. That's a great question, Orion. If he was the running back one, the problem is I don't think we're getting that. Orion, this is a running back by committee, probably, bro. If they came out and said he's the running back one, sorry, Najee, which I don't think we're going to hear. But hypothetically, if they did, I would say, in the 50 to 55 to 60 range, which is above Mixon, above Kamara, above Monty. That's if he was the starting running back, anointed, crown on his head, keys to the starting lineup. But right now, I'd rather have Connor and Benson cuffed. I'd rather have Zamir White stand alone. I'd rather have a wide receiver maybe, or go quarterback shopping, you know, in that territory. I don't know. I like Jaylen Warren, but Jaylen Warren right now is going in the 90s, which is great. Low risk. That's where I want him. But that's it. That's it. Jaylen Warren in the 80s and 90s. That's where I'm taking him. I'm scooping him up. I don't care what Najee's doing. I'll grab Najee too and cuff the two if they're both costing me 85 plus picks. And this news, if Najee was 86.4 on Underdog, I can't imagine he climbs. So maybe they both fall. I don't know. I imagine Warren will go up a little bit. The intrigue on Warren will go up a little bit. AR5 has multiple knees and shoulders and injuries, and Isaac doesn't like he doesn't like AR5. That's okay. Cordarrelle is probably going to steal some carries. Cordarrelle Patterson becomes the number one goal. He's one of the best goal line backs in the league, says Arthur Smith. Scott, what's up, Scott? What can I do for you? How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, man. Hang on for 1 minute. I got to pull something up real quick.
All right. Don't let me keep you.
I drafted my first draft today, and I wanted to run it through you.
All right.
Jalen Hurts, Jahmyr Gibbs, James Conner, St. Brown, Deebo Samuel, Devontae Smith, Hunter Henry.
Love it. I don't love
Kyle Murray.
I love
David
Henry.
Montgomery, Zach Moss, and Marquise Brown, Worthy. DJ Mooney.
I like it. I don't like the Henry. Like, who's your other backup tight end?
Just Hunter Henry. I didn't pick a second one, man. I'll play it by ear on the tight ends this year.
Okay,
if I gotta go in and out on some, I don't mind.
So it's not best ball. It's you have the opportunity to swap them out.
No,
okay.
it's just redraft.
Okay, good. Then you're okay. You're okay. But look at some of these guys like. I mean, see if Isaiah Likely is potentially out there later, and if you can, you know, cuff or hold someone like that, it might be beneficial. Do Bowers get drafted, or is this like a mom and pop league where no one's drafting the rookie tight ends like that? Did Bowers go?
Hang on a minute, I'll tell you.
Bowers, did Goddard get taken? Goddard's coming in at like 115 overall right now. Goddard's so disrespected. Dalton Schultz and Houston's kind of a better option than Hunter Henry, in my opinion. Luke Musgrave in Green Bay, I bet's available in your mom and pop league. I like Luke Musgrave a lot this year. I like him more than Hunter Henry, personally.
Yeah, Bowers is gone. But, yeah, I'll take a look at it, man.
Okay.
To be honest with you, the tight ends have never done a whole lot for me. And that's how I've usually done them, man. I've usually floated on them.
All right.
But, yeah, the other one is I was really glad because I got a couple different stacks, several stacks in these two lines. That could almost be that's actually almost two teams. Huh?
Yeah, I think you did good. Your team sounded good. I like it.
All right, Smitty. I appreciate it, man.
All right,
I'm doing fine. I'm hanging in there.
All right, man.
I'll stay in touch.
All right, yeah, keep calling in. Appreciate it, man. I like the team. I think you smashed it. I'd say that's easily an A-minus team minimum. It's a good team. You got Debo,
yeah,
Debo, Devontae Smith. Who's your other receiver?
Brown, St. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, you got a good squad there, bro. Good job. Nice work.
Yeah, man, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. Later, bro.
It was best player available.
You did it. You did good. You smashed it, man. You can tell you did best player available. Later. 716 caller, where are you calling from and what is your name?
Hey, nice to talk to you. I'm calling from Buffalo, New York. My name is Mike.
Mike, what's up? How are you feeling about Keon Coleman in Buffalo? How's Buffalo treating Keon Coleman?
I think they like him, actually. They didn't really have another route to go. And, you know, I think like they were saying during the draft, he's Buffalo made as far as, you know, his height, his thickness, you know, things of that nature. It all depends. You know, I remember last week they were talking about the receiver that went a few years back to Minnesota. As long as this guy could catch on to the route schemes and things of that nature, then he'll be okay. I wanted to ask you personally, what did you think about the two guys that rounds one and two that went to the Cowboys and Tyler Guyton and then Marshawn Nyland? And I'll hang up and listen to you. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, hey, appreciate you. You said Mike, right? Mike from Buffalo?
Right.
Mike? Oh, all right. I think that was Mike. Did he say Mike? I think he said Mike. Mike from Buffalo. Thank you. I would say like the Dallas Cowboy draft selections, I don't hate on if they just would have come away with one of the big running backs and they had opportunity to do it. Like you take Braylon Allen mixed with the draft the Dallas Cowboys had, and I actually walk away with this going, God, you got the big bully running back in Braylon Allen, who's not going to take Breece Hall's job. You know, he's just not, but Dallas would have been a good fit for him. You take Braylon Allen, you have the draft you had, and then you come in and you say, let's extend Dak. And then you come in and you, off of the extension of Dak, you're able to sign CeeDee Lamb. Then all of a sudden, you're really excited about what Dallas might be cooking up. But I think that, you know, those picks were good, but Dallas crapped the bed in a lot of other ways. So I don't hate those draft selections. So to answer your question, you know, compartmentalizing, I don't hate those draft selections. Let's see here. Musgrave is the guy. He'll get plenty of targets over Kraft, says Travis. I believe Kraft and Musgrave are a pretty crafty tight end combo to grab in best ball as your tight end 2 and 3. That way you're kind of protected with your second tight end spot, and then you draft a starter above them. But Musgrave is a monster, and with Love developing the way he is, Musgrave is a very, very big sleeper candidate. Yeah, so anyway. There are reasons why AR5 got concussions and season-ending shoulder injury last year. Isaac's really against AR5. He hates AR5. We love AR5 here. AR5 is a Mars man.
He's on a shuttle to Mars. Mars man.
You don't have to agree with every one of these, by the way. If he doesn't like AR5, that's okay. This Mars man. Loads
dropping and spinning aimlessly.
This list is fantastic. He's been earning his keep, and he's rising to the point where I think our work's almost done with this one. Like, we almost have to put mission accomplished on this one because his ADP's climbing so high. We're not taking him off. I'm not taking anybody off. Just because they end up becoming better values later, like we predicted, doesn't mean that we didn't have mission accomplished going on here. McBride, Jacob, Stroud, Bowers, London, AR5, Benson. This Marsman team looks phenomenal. The Saturn Man team looks even better.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
These are your monsters. Breece Hall, Kyren Williams, JD5, Puka Nacua, Bijan, Achan, Gibbs, Mahomes.
Spaceman.
And maybe the leader is MHJ. This is like the future of this Saturn Man crew. This is like the... We dispatched, we had 8 seats. I lied to everybody, said there were 8 people going to Saturn. I kept a secret mission, a pod that was sent later after I had sent the 8 crew down to Saturn without a leader. They're like, who's leading? Are we doing a little vote? Like, what's going on? And little did they know, I dispatched a pod. It had one man, the leader of the Saturn Man. His name is MHJ, and he now sits atop of this crew. He's the you could call him the shift manager. This is the supervisor of the crew on Saturn, and it's going to the in the moon.
The moon men dropping loads in outer space.
Penix Jr., long-term Zamir White, kind of the lone moon man until we just threw Javon Baker on.
Space Moses.
Off this news that he says, no way in effing America, 10 receivers better than me, out of your effing mind. Baker is the second wide receiver drafted by the New England Patriots that has that St. Brown mentality. And we've talked about him before. He's kind of a nice sleeper candidate here on the channel. And honestly, this mentality reminds me so much of St. Brown. We just threw him on here today, and it might become official. But yeah, so into Isaac's concern and everybody's concerns about AR5, you're not drafting him without drafting a backup. You're not drafting him without support. You know, he is a potential top 5 QB anytime he hits the field because of the running. Guy rushed for 4 touchdowns in 3 games. He scored, you know, 7 total touchdowns in 3 games. Where are you ranking drafting Cooper Kupp this year? Ivy, thank you for the $5 hauler. Let me give you a moonshot for your weight. I apologize. I had that on screen at least, but I hadn't read it yet. But this is a great question. Cooper Kupp to me is going, I think we got the ADP right here, and Cooper Kupp is not obviously on the list of the top, you know, 28 players, but if we pull up this one, where is he at on this one? I think he is, yeah, he's coming in around 35, so this is underdog ADP, he's around 35 overall, so you've got the first 15 here, you've got the 15 through 28 here, and then this is essentially dipping into the third round type guys and fourth round guys, and you're seeing Cooper Kupp go at 35 overall. So that's the tail end of round 3 going into round 4. I will say this. I'll say Cooper Kupp is your fourth drafted player. It's crafty. It's a very nice move. And I know he's older. I know there's concern, but you're packaging in a lot of that risk as a fourth drafted player. But if he is your third drafted player, I'm not as on board. So I'll tell you this. I like his value kind of if it's a little bit lower, and he definitely could fall. Kelsey's in the fourth round. Tank Dell's in the fourth round. ETN's in the fourth round. Jalen Hurts is now on the third to fourth round turn. Jalen Hurts might just have become as valuable as Mahomes to me, and that video might be on the way. The best pick in fantasy right now, it's probably Jahmyr Gibbs. That video I said was coming today. It'll probably come today or tomorrow. And now Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are almost kind of in the same wheelhouse in terms of being the best pick in fantasy. Jalen Hurts is your fourth drafted player. What are we doing? And how does that not make him a Saturn man, essentially? You get Jalen Hurts in round 4? The only reason I'm not making that a Saturn man right now, because he just breached it. 36.7 pushes him into round 4. I don't know what to do.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for Saturn.
I don't know what to do. Do we take Puka Nacua off and put him on the Mars Man list? The reason I say that is because Puka is going like in the top, you know, let's go back here. Puka Nacua is going as high as number 9. So it's not like you're getting the value you were when he was at 12, 13. So it's like, does Puka really stay in the Saturn Man list when it does account for draft value? And I'm not saying we remove guys that climb, but maybe we move him to the Mars Man list. All in favor of moving Puka, who's getting drafted 9 overall, to the Mars Man list, making sure he still gets his due, and putting Jalen Hurts, who's going now in round 4, on the Saturn Man list. Do I have all in favor? Not that anybody's vote is going to overrule mine. This is not a, this is a dictatorship in a sense, as far as who goes to which planet. But I don't know how I don't make this move right now. This is why I am here doing the show, is making these calls. I just can't ignore value. And Jalen Hurts has just climbed, I think, onto the Saturn Man list. Jalen Hurts, I think, is, you know, I don't know. Maybe we can do this officially on a different video. Yeah, we'll do this officially on a different video. But expect this video to come. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. Puka still needs to be talked about. Puka still needs to be on the Mars Man list. He's still an absolute value, but there's no stealing him away at all. You know what I mean? You can't just put him on there to nod your, you know, tip your hat and nod your head and go, Puka, put him there. There's no way he's a value anymore. And I'm not saying that we take McBride off the Mars Man list, but we've had him there during his lows. Puka, we've had him. He's never been low. He's just been really good value, and now he just turned to, like, you know, you're drafting him at a ceiling now at 7 and 8 and 9 overall. I'm gonna remove Puka.
Men dropping load.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
Spaceman.
He's on a shuttle to Mars. Mars Men. Loads dropping and spinning aimlessly in space.
Now, people are going to get upset at this. I know they are, because they love Puka. This is not a disrespectful move. This has to be done. Because he's going 8 and 9 overall. So this is not where it's like he's earning his keep, no doubt. But this spot.
The Saturn Men.
One small step for man, one giant leap for
Saturn.
This spot needs to be league-winning value.
Spaceman.
Everyone here has got league-winning value, even MHJ.
Spaceman.
Everybody here has league-winning value. Puka does not have that anymore at 8 and 9 overall. So we're gonna move him to the Mars Man list because he deserves that respect. But we can't keep him on the Saturn Man list.
He's on a shuttle.
But he's on the Mars Man. There's Mars, no doubt. Man. That's a great looking crew right there. Those are some ballers.
Loads dropping and spinning.
Those are some ballers right there. Look at those guys: McBride, Jacob, Stroud, Bowers, London, AR5, Benson, Puka. Benson's one of my favorite additions. I think this is like one of the deeper calls on this list because he's going. He's not even a starter in name, and he's going in the, you know, later rounds. Freaking love Benson. Ramondre's definitely going to be put on the Moon Man list. Hang tight on the Ramondre Stevenson edition. But wow, what an attractive looking group. 8 seats. I think we'll make this one 9 as well. So I'm going to change this because I think we need one more Mars Man potentially. Let me fix this graphic to 9. So we're going to have 9 Moon. Or 9 Mars men, 9 Saturn men, and then Moon men will probably be limited to 8, is what I'm thinking. So there it is, 9 seats, 1 spot is available right here, and then the Moon men list is very blank.
The Moon men dropping loads in outer space.
Yeah, like Stevenson, Barkley, all candidates to hit this list.
Space Moon says.
Definitely Stevenson, Barkley, a few others come to mind. Definitely. Let's see here. So maybe tonight the show will be the Jalen Hurts show. I don't know. Jalen Hurts, Jahmyr Gibbs. We got a whole lot to talk about. I'm out of here for now, ladies and gentlemen. How many people we got in the building? Total eyeballs here, 132 from YouTube, 82 from Twitter. Appreciate you all being here. Najee Harris, to wrap up the news. Thank you, Ivy, for the super chat. To wrap up the news and conversation here, Ray G dropping a $5 hauler. What rookie wide receiver comes from out of nowhere like Puka Nacua last year? Well, I mean, here's one name if you need a deep call.
The Moon Man, dropping loads in outer space.
Javon Baker says, no way in effing America. 10 receivers better than me. Out of your effing mind. This guy's got that St. Brown dog mentality right there, bro. I like him a lot. He's going to move up on my The Fantasy Football Show ranking. So get on over to thefantasyfootballshow.com. Use code DRAFT to get 10% off. And, man, I don't know how high I'm going to climb this guy up my rankings. But Javon Baker, he's so fun to root for anyway. But when he says something like that, it's like this guy's got that St. Brown dog mentality. Just such a fun player to root for. Great Scott says, what's up? Couldn't chat today, but I'm still watching. Good. Thank you for being here. Saquon to the moon. Yeah, he'll be on the Moon Man list. Saquon will be on the Moon Man list. Stevenson will probably be. I don't want to ruin it all, but you know, you guys are here. I don't mind telling you a couple freebies there. A little early, you know, nugget. You can do better than that, Smitty. Who can do better than what, Smitty? What are you talking about, John? 9-9-9 like Herman Cain. 9-9-9. No, we're going to 9-9-8 is the answer. 9-9-8. 8 Moon Man, not 9. 8 Moon Man. 9 Saturn Man. 9 Mars Man. 8 Moon Man is the ticket. Not 9-9-9. I met running back 1. Isaac says, Javon Baker coming in hot, says Travis. Travis is excited. Like, he's got... Here's the thing about the New England Patriots. You've got 2 quarterback shots. Nobody's saying you need the second one, but you got it. You got Joe Milton backing up Drake May. You got 2 wide receiver shots. You got Polk, and then you got this Baker kid. So you got 2 shots there to not screw up. And Ramondre feels like the real deal. If you know what you're talking about, you know what you're doing. New England kind of pulled... New England and Carolina pulled some good drafts out of a hat. I gotta say. Ray, appreciate you dropping a wad, my man. Thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott? Who's that? Who's Elliott? Is that a guy who used to play football a long time ago that the Dallas Cowboys so blindly think is going to come in and lead their running back stable? These Dallas Cowboy fans are oblivious. They're like, bring back Zeke. And then now that he's back, they're like, well, I'm so glad he's back. It's going to be great. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? We could have got Braylon Allen up in this mug. And now we got Zeke Elliott coming out with a walker. He looks quick in his shorts and t-shirt, I'll admit. I've seen the footage of him. You know, doing the drills. Running, you know? You know the drills where they make you, you know, grunt and moan. Making the cuts. He looks good. But so do I. So do I. I've got bad knees. I got 2 bad knees. Okay, I'm not where I need to be physically. I need to get back in shape, and HN's got me motivated for that. But you tell me I don't look. Who doesn't look good? Who doesn't look good just sitting in t-shirt and shorts? Where's my football when I need it? Where's my football? This is what Zeke's doing. How quick do I look? I look quick. I'm in a compact area with a chair involved. I look quick. Zeke looks quick. Everybody looks quick. I got 2 bad knees. How quick do I look? I make those sounds. I look just as quick as Zeke. I'll watch it back and I'll probably look slow as shit. But that's okay. I'm out of here. Appreciate you all.
HN. HN is the man. His haters call him small,
but he is 9 feet tall.
HN is the man.
He's Kyren, he's 7 feet tall, and he knows how to handle a ball. He's Kyren, he can take frowns and turn them upside down with his touchdowns.
Legend has it if you say St. Brown three times in the dark in the bathroom, you will immediately lose your league.
Be back tonight. See you all then. Appreciate you.